And Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." And in the ending of this, it reminds me of another story, of course, because I have a book titled Go in Peace. And sometimes I get really tired of teaching from this story because I've taught it for so many years. But as I was reading the story of the woman with the issue of blood, her story so paralleled the sinful woman in Luke chapter 7. You can find the story of the sinful woman in Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. We're not going to turn there today, but in many ways the story parallels. Although the woman with the issue of blood, she had a physical affliction. But the woman in Luke chapter 7, her name is called the sinful woman because we don't really know her name. So that's the title that Bible scholars have given her over the year. Her issue wasn't physical, but it was an affliction of the heart, of a sinful heart. And so she was just like this woman with the issue of blood, in which she approached Jesus from behind. In fact, when you look chronologically, because the Bible is not in chronological order, the one that you normally read, unless you're reading the chronological Bible, it's not in chronological order. So just before the event that the sinful woman came and got touched by Jesus, Jesus was teaching to a crowd, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Well, I have sort of a wild imagination. And so I sort of imagine that Jesus was teaching in maybe a marketplace in the day, and that she was just going about her day regular. She didn't know that this was the day that God was going to use to change her whole life. But as she was going about her regular daily things, maybe buying some vegetables or some fruit, she hears this man and he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And I think that she knew that he was her only answer, that he was the only one could help her. And so she threw caution to the wind, and she heard that he was having dinner that night at Simon's house. Now, Simon was a Pharisee, and Simon thought that he was spiritually righteous and that he was better than everybody else. And sometimes I have women who come to me for counseling who are like Simons. I have them a lot. They probably come because their husband says, "This is the last straw. If you don't go get help, I'm leaving." And so they want to be able to come to counseling to say, "I tried it. It didn't work." You know? And so a lot of times I have Simons. And I want to encourage you to read that story today during your quiet time and ask, are you Simon? Or are you like the sinful woman? And so the sinful woman, she felt that she couldn't approach God, but she knew that Jesus was her only answer. And so she approached him from behind also, just like the woman with the issue of blood. And she kneeled down behind Jesus, and she began to wet his feet, because he was sitting at a table with his feet tucked back and behind him. And she started to wet his feet with her tears. And she started to wipe them with her hair, and she poured perfume on them. And everybody was watching. And Simon thought, if he knew who was touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Don't we judge other people like that sometimes? And so Simon missed everything because of his attitude. But she was broken before Jesus and knew that Jesus was her only hope. And he turned to her and he said, "Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." And so, ladies, it doesn't matter if you have a physical affliction. It doesn't matter if you have a sinful affliction of the heart that is keeping you from Jesus. He wants you to come to him. He wants you to kneel at his feet. He wants you to just bow down before him and say, "Jesus, I need you." And he will say, "Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." And so I want to encourage you. What's your affliction today? What has been keeping you from coming to the great physician? Is it because God hasn't answered your dreams the way that you wanted him to? Is it because you've been struggling financially and God didn't help you in the way that you thought he should? Is it because you're struggling physically and you have just cried out and wanted a touch of healing and maybe it wasn't his will to heal? What is it? All of the above. I like that. An honest woman over here. She's like the sinful woman, and God will touch her. That's what he wants. He wants an open heart that says all of the above. And he will touch your heart. It doesn't matter where you are. He will touch your heart. And in closing, we can learn from a man who cried out to God for healing. And it's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. And it says, you don't have to turn there, but you can write it down and look at your quiet time. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 10, I believe. But anyhow, it was Paul. And he was struggling physically. And he says, 3 times he pleaded with the Lord to take it away from him. But God said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power will be made great in weakness. And so do you want God's power in your life, like the woman with the issue of blood? She received his power, right? It said power went out of him. And do you want God's forgiveness in your life, like the sinful woman? Or do you just want his touch, like Paul? It said 3 times Paul pleaded with the Lord to take it away from him, but God said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And so whether God chooses to change your circumstances or not, or whether God chooses to heal you or not, his grace is sufficient for you, and his power will be made great in weakness. So think about it. The crowd was watching the woman with the issue of blood. They were watching her relationship with him. And are they watching you and wondering what's special about you? Psalms 139, 23, and 24 are excellent verses to memorize, and they're excellent verses to use every day personally in your own life. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and allow me to walk in the way everlasting. Psalms 139, 23, and 24. These verses are for open heart surgery. And so I want to encourage you to allow God to do that surgery in your heart today. And so Paul was not healed by God in the midst of his physical affliction. But he learned a powerful lesson that I am sure helped him to become the mighty man of God that he was. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 tells us what Paul said. After God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, this is what Paul said. Therefore, I will boast the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. Ladies, the whole list is here. It doesn't matter what you're struggling with or what you're afflicted with. You may be arguing with me going, oh, but you don't know what I'm going through. I'm going through this, and it's so much bigger than anything you've ever gone through, and you just don't understand. Well, Paul understood. Read about Paul. Man, he was shipwrecked. He was thrown in prison. He was beat. They thought he was dead. I mean, if you want to compare lives to somebody, you compare yours to Paul, okay? Because you don't have it up on him. And so, yet... Here he could say, therefore, I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. And so we need to delight in weaknesses. Depending on what version of the Bible you're using, NIV says delight in weaknesses. New King James says, I take pleasure in infirmities. The English Standard Version says, I am content with weakness. The New American Standard Version says, I am well content with weaknesses. And the New Living Translation says, I am quite content with weaknesses. And all of those are good. When you look it up in the original language, it says to be well pleased with, to take pleasure in, to be favorably inclined towards one. Are you favorably inclined to trials and struggles and hardships and persecutions? I'm not. That's not our human nature. But that's how God wants us to look at them, to see how he's going to use them, to see how he's going to be glorified, to see how he's going to mold you and make you and who he wants you to be. And so that other people can watch us. But more importantly, because he wants an intimate relationship with you. And so, if you have not been delighting in your weaknesses, or delighting in insults and hardships, or delighting in persecutions and difficulties, and have not been saying, when I am weak, then I am strong, you have room to grow. And so, let's pray.